What's up, everybody, and welcome to Checkpoint AFK, where geeks, nerds, and everything in between talks about the stuff that happens away from the keyboard. I am your host, Norris Howard, joined alongside my usual motley crew, Chad Callahan. What's up, Chad?
Living the dream.
That's the whitest phrase.
I find myself saying it more and more as I walk these hallways now.
Well, back up. You see the meme going around on Facebook all the time where it's like if a white person responds with, "Oh, you know, living the dream," it's code for please God push me off the roof of this building. I'll either die or we're going to split the lawsuit money.
And the other voice you hear so eloquently breaking that down is Callie Sloan. Callie was cracking sis.
Oh, you know, another day in the neighborhood. There's another white inflection phrase for you.
And we are joined by a very, very, very special guest. At this point, a friend of Checkpoint. After you appear twice, you become a friend of Checkpoint.
Friend of the show.
Bunny Mike Game You of Lost Rings. Bunny, what is cracking? Thank you for joining us today. I meant to say, painfully New York is how I would explain Bunny, the most New York person, and it's wonderful. It is wonderful how New York
painful.
You are.
Like, I mean, I guess there's pain in a good way.
Yeah, there's good pain.
That's fair.
There's good pain.
Not all pain is bad.
Exactly. Some pain teaches you, other pain is titillating.
Now, that's fair. Norris, of everyone on this staff, you are what I would call the... you're the biggest fan of New York.
I love that place.
Yeah, whenever we get a chance to travel to New York, you, more than anyone, you're just geeked.
Yeah, because I diss a fucking pier, and I don't have to deal with y'all, and I go meet up with all my New York people.
Oh.
See? So, Bunny, thanks for joining us, man. Tell a little bit of the people out here what it is about you and Lost Rings that everybody should be hype about.
Everybody needs to be super hype. I am Bunny Mike Game You. I am with Lost Rings. It's an awesome collective. It's three of us, myself, Bunny Mike Game You, Sunzi Bay, and Black Crystal. We are girl gamers, blurred girl gamers, which means we're black nerd girl gamers.
Yes.
And we're coming in strong. We have a mixtape coming out this week on Friday. It's called Player Select. And we have a lot of really dope beats coming at you. We're working together with a lot of these dope, awesome streamers, like right now. Hello, Checkpoint.
What's cracking?
And we're bringing a lot of really dope content. The first single that I'm going to be working with is going to be New York Drip. So I'm dead ass with everything I do is mad New York. So take a really good look at Lost Rings Official either on Instagram or on YouTube, and you can be able to check out our music because it's really dope. We have all different types of genres of music. Myself, I'm more of a hip hop party nerd, which is why you'll find me in the streaming chat rooms and in all the party chat rooms, because I'm a little bit of a, you know, I'm a gamer party girl. And but we've got everything for everybody, and it's really fun. Check us out.
That's what's up.
And if you're listening on the podcast, that's out today.
That is out as we speak. If you are listening on the podcast, so make sure
it's
you guys
Friday
check
today?
That out. It is. It. This will be out when your
Happy
tape
Friday.
Is out.
Listen yeah. To my music.
Yeah. So you got it. So the timing could not be more perfect.
Yeah,
there'll
probably be a link in the metadata below.
Oh,
imagine
yeah,
that.
Click the link. Check it out. My music is really, really fun. We've got something for everybody on the project today. And the best part about it is it's not just music. It's also a community. We're working together with blurreds and nerds, geeks and gamers that cosplay, that are into manga, anime, and everything in between. And it's not just, you know, one of those things that's just for blurred girls. It goes right. For everybody. We're here and we have music for you. You want to be able to bust ankles, break ankles on 2K and listen to some popping ass music. Come to Bunny Mike Game You at Lost Rings. You want to be able to listen to some music so you could be able to roll up while you're listening to, you know what I'm saying, whatever podcast on the side, Checkpoint. Come to Bunny Mike Game You at Lost Rings. We got something for you too. But you know, I got a podcast too, y'all.
Uh-oh.
You?
Hit them with it. Plug it.
You know, I got a podcast.
Plug it.
Mm-hmm. My podcast is Girls Can't Geek. It's actually quite sarcastic or satirical, like satire. You know how they be like, white man can't jump, but you know you can, baby. You can.
I jump all the time. I want to jump all the time. Talked about wanting to jump off this building right here, so we can jump.
Not that kind of jump, Chad.
Yeah, it's living the dream. But yeah, my podcast is called Girls Can't Geek. It's a wonderful podcast. It's out every Monday. So if today's Friday, you already know you got to go through your weekends. And then you holler at Girls Can't Geek. We're on www.girlscantgeek.com.
Dang it.
We are some really bomb nerd girls. It's me, myself, Buddy Mike Gameview, and my co-host, SD Trinity. We are streaming gamers. We got booties that's popping. We be on it. We be with the shits. Okay, so just
hey,
tune
listen,
in. It's every Monday.
Let me just say this, man. I am so appreciative of the movement of more like women gamers right now.
Yeah.
Because video, let me put it this way. Growing up, I had two dude best friends. That was it. All the rest of my friends were girls.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of a little bit in high school, I was doing a rap thing. But that's a dark period in my life. I was good, but I don't like to revisit it. But anyway,
the point is that
so many girls and so many women out here I knew were fans of video games. The person that got me into Final Fantasy, I will remember to this day, her name was Marianne, and we went to middle school together, and she got me into Final Fantasy VII, and that's how I got into RPGs. Everybody else thought she was weird. I low-key thought
she
was...
Shout out to Marianne, that's RPG bae.
Shout out to Marianne. I thought she was fire for being into this kind of stuff because it was different. You know, we're talking about 1997. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't nobody playing no RPGs in the hood? Everybody's playing Madden. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was daring to be different, and I owe that to a girl. I owe my interest in a bunch of different genres of games to women and women that play video games. So I definitely love this energy and this resurgence of female gamers, man, because it's let me put it this way, without y'all spending money, we don't have a lot of good games.
Amen to that. I'm still just sitting over here wondering why our shows don't have booties popping.
Callie, hey,
you know, work on that.
You know what? We'll start here.
Hey, you know what? All right, I'm 6 months on my hormones. I'm getting there.
You know what, Callie?
This time next year, we will have booties popping.
We need a lot. Okay, squats. Okay,
take your time and pace yourself, baby.
That's right. Pace yourself. You and I, we hit the gym, squats, okay,
yeah,
all day. We ain't going to do this. We ain't going to do this the fake way. We ain't going to do this. We ain't taking no shortcuts, okay?
Okay.
Flat out.
I love that you could do that. My boyfriend can do that, like, so well, and I can't do it. And I've been trying. I used to be able to. Not anymore. Despite having a Mexican grandma.
Has the Latin community disavowed you?
She must have, because, like, there was a point in time where I was good as a kid, and then I lost it, and I can't get it back. Like, I've tried.
You can't.
I can't. I don't even want to try. It's embarrassing. I'm not even going to put anybody through that.
Listen, Bunny, I've heard Chad try to do that, and it sounds like a cat got caught in a lawnmower.
It's not even that. It's like, it's the whitest. Like, imagine, like.
It's like, okay.
Not even that. I just go, I've given up and just go, okur.
Okur.
I don't even try anymore. I don't even bother. And it upsets me because, like, yeah, my Spanish side is really, like, harping down on me that I can't roll my R's at
all. I deeply and sincerely... on behalf of people of color everywhere, we wish that you could get your trailed R's back.
I wish we can, yeah.
But
we can work on that.
That's true.
That ain't nothing but a thing.
See, exactly.
That's true. Like the gay side of everything. I can't pop tongue. You know that. I can't do it. I can't.
You can't.
Is he doing it? See,
you can't do the.
I can't. I'm part of all these communities, and I can't do it.
It's like you
have to like.
Yeah, let me
see. It's a marriage of
See, okay, all right. I want to.
This
real
is
hard.
Such an interesting conversation.
You can't do it.
Pop culture is high.
Look at my tongue. Pay attention.
I'm looking. Oh, you're doing like tea. Okay.
Yeah, it's. Listen.
But do it while your mouth is open.
Okay.
There's someone listening on the podcast who's just going, what is going on right now?
I know. But anyway, on that note, we want to make sure that everybody tunes in to Lost Rings. Everybody slides over to Bunny's podcast. We'll put some links in there in the show notes and all that good stuff. But we are going to talk a little bit about some video games. We're going to talk about Call of Duty and them going back to the 80s.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For all the latest in Overwatch League action, check out The Owl's Nest with me, Robbie Landis, and my co-host, Jake Lyon. Find new episodes every weekend on Checkpoint XP's YouTube or at CheckpointXP.com. Or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Checkpoint AFK. Back one more time, Norris Howard, Chad Callahan, Callie Sloan, and Bunny Mike Game You, our special guest hosts for this afternoon or evening or day, wherever. Whenever you're listening, it doesn't matter.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
That's right. We want everybody to make sure that you like and subscribe to all the stuff that we do because we're fire. And also, we want to make sure that you guys log on to CheckpointXP.com to get all of the awesome updated esports and gaming news, as well as written works, yours truly, and maybe a couple of these other jokers that I work with.
These plebs.
Yeah. I just wrote a Final Fantasy 14 article that everyone loves.
Shit! I hate that article.
Okay, so mad. It got a lot of. We put it on Reddit, and it is.
It's on fire.
There's fire. That's
wait.
For sure.
They didn't take it down immediately.
No. People, I meant by fire that it's getting shit on. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I didn't think they'd be able to shit on it for too long before they just pulled it down.
Oh no, it's still up there. It's still
up there. How badly is it down?
Oh, I'm not. It's zero. Like you can't go below zero. Like
you can get negative karma.
Go way into the negatives.
You can't get negative as far as like you can look at it in the back end and see like negative stuff, but you can't see it.
Either
like,
way,
on the
if you want to go,
like
if you want to go check out Callie's terrible, horrible, fucking opinions about Final Fantasy 14 jobs, go to CheckpointXP.com.
Oh, I love everyone's misery.
It's fucking terrible. Anyway. So Call of Duty is going to be in a matter of moments. We're recording this on Wednesday. So by the time you hear this, you may have more information than us, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Sure. Call of Duty is going to be announcing its new game, Call of Duty Cold War, that is going to be taking place in the 80s. A few leaks have come out. And I wanted to ask you guys, we're in the middle of a new gen coming up. PS4 era is over. And moving to the PS5 era. Here's my question. Why the fuck are we still doing Call of Duties every year? Why is that still a thing?
I couldn't tell you.
Modern Warfare is great. It is really good. They're only on season 5. Why are they not letting Modern Warfare marinate for another year? Chad, you know what? I'm halfway not even, I'm looking at you, but I'm not asking this to you because you don't even play the game.
I play the game, but I don't play it regularly.
But, all right, I'm going to Cali because Cali's played at least enough of Call of Duty to at least have some context here.
Right.
And Bunny, I know you play it quite a bit. So how do y'all feel about this next iteration of Call of Duty?
Well, you ask why are we not letting this one marinate for a little while? Why are we getting another one? Yeah. And the answer is because the cash cow goes moo. And until the cash cow stops mooing.
I knew you was going to say some shit like that.
Well, that's it, though. But until that cow stops mooing, they are going to keep making a game every year. Like, remember Assassin's Creed? They had to have a game where it didn't sell particularly well before they were willing to say, okay, maybe we need to put out a good one and then give it a year.
They put out 4 after that.
That's true. They completely went back on that immediately after. And the only reason it worked is because they made 2 in a row that were pretty decent.
That were really good. Yeah. No,
I think what
so I'm interested in what they're trying to do. You said it's called Cold War, huh?
Yeah, it's supposed to be set in the 80s. I don't know if it's going to... Like, I don't know how 80s they're going to go, right? Because I don't know if they're...
I like that idea. Because if we're going to do... I mean, historically, if we're going to do something on that context, I think it's always fun when they incorporate, you know, history with the content within the game and its campaigns. I'm very interested to see what they're going to introduce as the 80s dynamic with a title like Cold War. Are we going to do USSR? Are we going to do Soviet Union? Are we going to do Russia? This gives me vibes where are we going to tell the truth? Are we going to include Reagan? Are we going to talk about it?
Yeah.
Are we going to get real with it? Because I'm with new content all the time because, you know, a bitch like me change her wig every day. I don't even call it cosplay. I just shapeshift. Hello. But I feel like if what they wanted to do with this, if what Activision wants to continue to do with this is cash cow it, like you telling me, bro, I'm cool with that. But are we doing this right? Are we talking Cold War 80s for real? Or are we not going to have Ronald Reagan included in this? Are we going to continue with the farce? False flag bullshit, or are we going to really talk about it?
No, see, and that's where I think Call of Duty actually has an opportunity to be really transformative, right? Because what they do is they tend to get very surface level with the shit that they talk about, right?
Yeah.
Like, and the reason why Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, the first time, was so transformative is because they talked about the threat of nuclear attacks in a very candid sort of way that nobody would have ever thought to do that in a video game medium. That's why Call of Duty 4 was so amazing for its story and the campaign. And I think after they've jumped the shark so many times in their games, I'm not sure how much more they could do to shock people. But what I think they have an opportunity to do with the Cold War is we're talking about the 80s. This is the birth of, like, doublespeak. They wrote The Watchmen and shit in the 80s. This is the part where people really started to distrust. I mean, it started way before then, but this is the 80s is where disillusionment began, where people were like, the government is saying a bunch of shit that we flat out just do not believe, right? As opposed to the government is good and it can be used for good, so let's use our voice to make the government be better. In the 80s, people was like, man, fuck that shit. The government is corrupt from its very foundations. And so I think when you're talking about it, and Bunny brings up a good point, are we going to address that kind of stuff? Because you cannot fundamentally make a game about the military in the 80s and not talk about shit like Iran-Contra and Reagan's Star Wars and you know, nuclear expansion and the carving up of Africa and crack.
Yeah.
And, like, there's so much shit in the 80s that if you go talk about the military, you got to talk about that shit.
Yeah.
And, like,
you know, one of the things I tell a lot of people, babe, my dad is the United States Marine Corps veteran. That's public knowledge. People know I grew up with a very vast understanding and comprehension, you know, or rather an understanding and comprehension of the military industrial complex and how that works in the systematic oppression of people, including but not limited to our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So saying all of that 10 times fast, I try to remind people, if you notice the way that we developed our conspiracy theories, and as you're saying, people starting to become a little more aware, a little more, you know, aware to the government being full of shit sometimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've noticed a pattern where after Vietnam, when we had a lot of the veterans coming back from the Vietnamese conflict for about a decade or so, they come back, you're dealing with people being aware of, oh, wow, the GI Bill is a farce. Oh, wow, we're not really doing the best we can for our veterans. This is really important. We need to spread this information.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, from the 70s into the 80s, you saw that become the dynamic. That became the catalyst in why in the 80s, by the time Reagan was around and all of these things, we had, like you said, a lot of people that had a mistrust, I think that's the word you used, of our politics and of our government and our military industrial complex as a whole.
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. And Omega Weltall in our chat says, the trailer says, quote unquote, know your history, and then they say remove TNA Square Massacre. But I think this is I think this is interesting because we just had a big old huge scandal of the US Army on Twitch.
Yeah.
And their channel being taken down because they ran a fake contest I mean, I'm just saying.
Was it completely fake?
It was fake.
It was completely fake. So there was no surprise whatsoever.
It was saying.
When an Xbox controller?
Yeah, when a Xbox Elite controller hit the link and fill out your information. But the link went to a recruitment website.
Yeah.
Oof.
I just wasn't sure if it was you recruit and then maybe
you can't do that. Yeah. You can't get people to volunteer.
Well, that's why they got in trouble.
Yeah, you can't get people to volunteer for the armed forces under false pretenses. Yeah. They have to absolutely know of sound mind and body what they are signing up for.
At least Twitch is on the side of like, yeah, that's not allowed, because I know AOC tried and failed to get this kind of dealt with, but at least Twitch recognized that issue.
I'll put it this way. I do not agree with the armed forces not being able to stream on Twitch
for sure
at all. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
I don't agree with that.
Listen, I don't like El Presidente, but when he went on Twitch, I defended his right to use the
platform. He has a right to be there.
Yeah,
but the point that I'm bringing up is that if a recruiter can go to a college or a high school campus, right? Even in some cases, middle school and elementary school, because we all had bring your dad to work day and shit.
That's fair.
Somebody would show up and they're like, I'm in the military and same shit. It's the same thing. So I thought that was a little bit of overreach personally. But the fact that they were getting a lot of really hard questions in the chat that I know they either weren't going to answer or didn't have the ability to answer, that's some shit they should have foreseen. You're the U.S. Army. You're a wing of the U.S. government.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I guess I'll just be devil's advocate. I'm not a fan of the U.S. military in any way, shape, or form having the need to stream on Twitch.
Okay, let's hear it. I like debate.
I feel like there are... I don't like it, mainly because I grew up within the structure. I understand what types of risks are incurred and involved when you're streaming.
Right.
This is not like we're living in a world where people cannot find a way into hacking into your system, into getting some kind of classification. It doesn't even have to be the highest classification of, you know, confidential info. But I'm telling you, it's not worth whatever money's come funneling in. It's not worth whatever amount of recruitment can come funneling in. Our national security is a joke as it is. We don't need to have our U.S. military or even our bureaus, our federal, you know, agencies streaming in any way, shape, or form on Twitch. I'm sorry.
You know,
we got too many hackers out here, and we've gone through enough.
That is a very interesting point that not one person I have ever heard, even incredibly, incredibly intelligent, quote unquote, experts on the matter have ever brought up. What is the national security risk
of having a Twitch?
Of having a Twitch.
Because people, even Twitter.
Even Twitter. It's an open platform.
Think of how Biden got
everybody
hacked.
Got hacked.
Like all these high profile names got hacked. But imagine
by a 17-year-old, by the way.
By a 17-year-old. Imagine if that was the military. I know that these are high profile people, but I feel like that's more damaging if it was US military.
Bunny, what you have done is gotten me to shut the fuck up on this one.
And that is a rare occasion.
And that is a rare occasion. And again, I understand. Let me put it this way. I still stand by my point of I feel like they have a right to do it. I feel like the government should use as many communication tools as possible in order to talk to its people, right? I think that is top-down inherently a good thing. The more chances you get to interface with the government, the better. But that is an interesting point that I don't think has ever been brought up by any other person, and I think that is a strong point for us to leave on, and we're going to be right back with more Checkpoint AFK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The world of comics has been growing for the past 30 years, and that's why Robbie and Ben are here to break it all down for you. Join the Shop Talk every Monday for the latest in all things comic. Find The Other Identity at CheckpointXP.com or download from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
Checkpoint AFK, Bunny Mike Game You, Chad Callahan, and Callie Sloan join me. I'm Norris Howard. What we're going to do is, because Bunny's our guest host, and she was like, we're talking about this. So we're about to talk about some 80s and 90s video games. We were talking a little bit about Call of Duty Cold War, and that led to a really interesting conversation. But we're going to talk about some 80s and 90s games, because you know what? I was just thinking about this after watching the Netflix special, High Score.
Yeah.
It's a miniseries that's out right now. After watching that, I got really taken back in a time capsule of a lot of games that I don't want to say I forgot existed, but definitely games that I forgot I spent so many hours playing. That's for sure. So when they did a whole thing about the Sega Genesis, right?
Yeah.
And how Sega was able to even make a dent in what Nintendo was in the 90s. Because people forget Nintendo had a 95% market share on video games.
Oh, they owned it.
In 1992. First of all, that's stupid. Yeah. That's a monopoly.
Well, Atari was gone at that point.
It's a monopoly.
Yeah.
It's a monopoly.
It totally was.
So
now, that said, they also saved the gaming industry over here. I understand why they have it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So they talked about the Sega Genesis, and one of the major things that they did was focus in on sports games. And I distinctly remember sports games being absolute shit on the Super Nintendo. Distinctly, there were no good sports games on the Super Nintendo. Callie, you are a football fan.
I am.
Most people who played Madden, where did they play it back in the day?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, first, yeah, good old John Madden football.
John Madden football.
Before that, it was NFL and NFL Blitz and...
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't even have Madden technically yet, but you know, it was Sega Genesis.
Joe Montana football.
It's like, can we talk about the all-time the greatest hockey game ever made, NHL
95? NHL 95.
Yeah, NHL 95, but not for the Super Nintendo.
No.
For the Genesis.
For the Genesis.
Absolutely.
100%.
The only thing that when Nintendo got it right was on the N64 with Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey.
That's how you do it.
Oh, God, and even that was ass.
All right, sorry. Over goes my childhood.
I love you, but keep going. I'm sorry. No. Keep going. I'm loving it.
Listen, it was a midway sports game. You don't play it for sim. You play it for stupid.
Yeah.
You play it for stupid. But I want to go around the room and around the country and talk about what were some of your favorite old games, nothing before 1999.
So it has to be older than 1999. Yeah. So Chad was like 3.
I was older than that. But
Chad, you are the baby of the room.
Yeah, I mean, barely. But yeah. I mean, are we starting with me?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Oh, I mean, if we're going to... The games that brought me into gaming, I'll just focus on those because it's kind of like hard to really think about it. But the ones that really I focus on and I remember fondly are like Mario Kart 64.
Classic.
Resident Evil 2, or yeah, 2, it would have been 2. Those are like the 2, and Crash Bandicoot. I think those 3 are like my initial like step into video games.
That explains everything about you, Chad.
It really does. If you
literally
really break it down, like those are the first 3 games I vividly have a memory of playing and probably shaped my how I see video games.
I have learned everything I need to know about you.
So,
because Chad is our resident horror game person.
Yeah.
Our resident horror game fan.
Aww.
And so knowing that you played Resident Evil 2 very early in life.
Yeah.
You also like cute things. So Mario Kart and Crash, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah. No, I really like that. Oh, we got
Swaggy Loco in the chat mentioning Toe Jam and Earl 2, which I'm gonna go ahead and say Toe Jam and Earl was great. I don't know about the sequel, Panic on Funkatron. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure
Toe Jam and Earl Panic on Funkatron was a great game.
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to say Cool Spot. But anyway.
You will not besmirch the name of Cool Spot.
No, Cool Spot's great.
That was product placement at its finest.
Bunny, what are some of the old games that got you into video games and you remember very fondly?
I remember very fondly Sonic, Contra, and even Super Mario. I remember Mario Brothers and Donkey Kong. I'm older than a lot of people even remember. Like, I remember the Atari, but my first was just the OG Nintendo system. But, like, for me, in the early 90s, it would have to be the Sonic.
Yeah.
Contra.
Yeah.
Like I said, what else? Oh, Final Fantasy.
Oh, yes.
I was
going to bring it up, but I was like, too early. Well, we'll be on that subject for
and
hours.
And then I got into fighting games a little more because, you know, I was more into, like you guys, RPGs. But for me, Street Fighter, I don't know if you guys remember, like that was like in the 90s, that was the big breakout New York fighting game. I feel like later on was when Mortal Kombat and Tekken. I mean, maybe it's because my parents were crazy and they didn't let me play Mortal Kombat. I was allowed to play Street Fighter. It wasn't as bad as Mortal Kombat because Mortal Kombat was on Channel 11. And, you know, if Channel 11 said don't watch something, I couldn't.
You couldn't
if
do
they
it.
Said don't play nothing, I couldn't.
Yep.
Yeah, same thing happened around that same year. You remember Beavis and Butthead was on the TV talking about don't watch Beavis and Butthead. So Mortal Kombat was kind of like a backseat. First fighting game was really like Street Fighter. Then I got into Mortal Kombat. So I feel like my 90s were really fueled by RPGs. And then I moved into fighting games the more my defiant self came along,
yeah.
Like around 95.
Well, listen, and New York is still a hub for just Street Fighter, period. Just
well, fighting games in general.
Fighting
too.
Games in general, but specifically Street yeah. Fighter.
Y'all remember Streets of Rage, though? Streets of Rage. Don't. I can't believe I didn't even mention that one. But Streets is that too far? That's probably too
no,
far off.
No, it ain't. Streets of Rage. Listen, Streets of Rage is Streets of Rage 2.
They had a remake recently, too, right?
Yeah, Streets of Rage. Well, it's not a remake. Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah. 4. Oh, no. The
yeah,
fourth
Streets
one.
Of Rage
2
is actually one of the first times I remember playing video games with my dad. And that was a game that got me into, like, the whole couch co-op thing, because I thought video games were a very solitary thing for me. And then I would play that with my dad, and that's when I figured out, oh, okay, he's a fucking nerd too. But anyway, absolutely Street Fighter. These guys in the studio know Street Fighter, for me, you start talking about fighting games, watch out. Cause
there's only one in Norris's mind.
Yeah.
Well, see,
you want smoke?
Listen, because,
He wants smoke.
We'll handle that.
Talk to him, guys.
We'll handle that. We'll handle
that. He wants smoke.
Listen. I let the sticks do the talking. Anyway. But the thing is.
Okay.
The thing is that the one thing I loved about fighting games is because every other video game previously. Right, and this is why the 90s was special, okay? The 90s will never get better than the 90s ever again. And this is why. Because you had to be, first of all, you had to have enough balls to go to the arcade in person, look another human being in the eye, and say, in this game, I'm going to beat your ass.
I still think the early 2000s had that a little bit too.
No,
maybe
didn't.
Not in an arcade.
No,
but
it didn't.
I feel like
no, it didn't. I'm telling
introduced...
you now, Chad.
Nah.
It didn't.
No, I mean,
nah.
All right. That's I'll leave it up to you. But
not
like
in
how
New York.
I was not in New York. That's fair. But like, how I was introduced to fight like Mortal Kombat specifically was that way, but at home, which was I can beat your ass in person and no one will know, which was a little bit more threatening.
No, Chad. What you got?
My cousins did beat my ass.
Chad, what you got to understand that sometimes violence is performative. And so when you have a big crowd of people and they just saw that this 12-year-old kid just washed you and you got double perfect in Street Fighter, now you don't know what to do. You 14, the kid is 12. You don't know what to do. Your pride is on the line.
Yeah.
Right? Do you go to the back of the line and try to take him on again? Or are there fisticuffs?
No, you right? grab his head and you throw it through the cabinet.
And now there's a Donnybrook. Okay? That's the beauty of the 90s, okay? Because, listen. Very rarely did people die. You ain't hear about a lot of that. You ain't hear about a lot of that. You heard about a lot of fights. And I think there's something pure to that.
So the arcades around my house, even into the 2000s, it still had that, but it wasn't for Street Fighter. It was for games like Soul Calibur and Tekken, kind of that
That's the next generation.
Some of the next generation of fighting games. It still had that to an extent, but I agree. Nothing like what, like the 90s Street Fighter game. Like Mortal Kombat in the arcade, there were fist fights over that stuff.
Absolutely. And listen, this is why online is whack, okay? Because you can have a kid talking all the shit in the world, right? And he can't, you can't.
Yo, I felt that in my soul. You heard how he said that, guys? Whack!
Yo, because he will talk all the shit in the world, right? And you'll just stomp him. And all you can do is talk shit back. That's not fulfilling.
That's not true.
That don't trigger. That's not an endorphin trigger in my brain.
No, I hate that. I actually mute everybody in chats now, so you can't even talk to me. I don't even bother. I don't engage.
Well, because it's so toxic, too.
It is.
You know what I mean? But toxicity is different in person.
Well, it also gets to the point, too, where it's like, you know, it's one thing when you're 14 and some 12-year-old is talking trash. When you're 32 and some 12-year-old is talking trash, you're like, all right, if I put my hands on you, it's a felony.
It's a felony.
So you know what? I'm just going to mute this and move on with my life and go pay my mortgage. There comes a time where it's just like, you know what? I'm not 14 anymore, and I guess I have to accept that.
Oh, my God. But, you know, Bunny, you said another game that got us all pretty much turned up about old video games, one that will get us all, you will get on all of our good side, and that's the Final Fantasy series, obviously. This very show, this very brand has its roots in an old Final Fantasy podcast.
Yep.
So it is a series that is near and dear to our hearts. Callie, what about that series do you think spoke to you growing up, and why do you think it has stood the test of time?
Man, so, you know, Final Fantasy is one of two games that is the reason I'm a gamer today. The first, I grew up, you know, Super Mario 64, Star Fox, Banjo-Kazooie, all games that I enjoyed playing, but I didn't become, like, a gamer where I'm like, okay, this is what I do, until Perfect Dark came around and, like, the era of Coach Co-op truly began.
First of all, the better Rare shooter on Nintendo 64.
Agreed.
I'll die on that hill.
Agreed. Perfect Dark's way better than GoldenEye. But I played the heck out of Perfect Dark. And then a year of solid Perfect Dark play later, it was time for a new game. I picked up a PlayStation 1 for, like, dirt cheap up at a resale shop. And when I was there, the guy was like, all right, so you probably need a game with this, right? I'm like, well, yeah, I probably want to play something on it. And he's like, I assume Final Fantasy IX, that's the one everyone's asking for. And I looked at him blankly, having no clue what that was.
That was the first one?
I'd never played a Final Fantasy game. I didn't have a Super Nintendo, and I didn't have a Nintendo. So I had never got an experience to 1 through 6, and this was I was getting my PlayStation right as 9 came out. So
wow,
yeah. So I picked up Final Fantasy 9, and there was no going back. I played that game for a year straight, probably just like beat it, start over. Now I'm gonna try and get there in 12 hours so I can get Excalibur 2. Get there in like 14 hours, and then have to start all over again. Oh yeah, no, I played the heck out of Final Fantasy 9, and then from there started working my way backwards down the series.
Yeah. No, Bunny, what about you? How'd you get introduced to Final Fantasy?
Well, for me, it was 7. I don't know. I mean, 9 was incredible, but for me, it was 7. A lot of the time, people just wonder, like, what's the hype about Final Fantasy? What is it that makes, just like guys, girls fall in love with it? And it's just people don't understand the incredible story. There's just so much more character development that you can look at through the franchise as a whole.
Yeah.
You don't get franchise like this that are able to cross over into anime as fluidly.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Fluidly?
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
I think so.
We got you.
I think for you to be able to understand and grasp or understand and grasp, however you guys say it, the effect that Final Fantasy has on us, you would really have to, I feel like, I would say, start at 7, work your way to 9, and then just get into the story of it. Watch the films, watch the animes. It's a never ending gratification process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that's the best I can say. It's like a never ending gratification process. It's a fucking hard game to play, but it's like love. The way any other video game. I mean, it's not like any other video game. It's like falling in love and staying in love, and that's it just transfers into everything.
That's a really good comparison. It's a good way. Because you brought up
hard. It's fucking hard.
Yeah, but you brought up two interesting points. Is that I can't, outside of Pokemon, Animal Crossing, and maybe one more, I can't think of too many series where pretty much all genders are like, yeah, that's dope. Think about it. Almost every game,
not
you
just
know,
dope. I love.
Like dope. I love. Yeah. Like, you know, this made me a gamer.
Mario.
I mean, like, other than there's like only a couple, maybe though. The initial, like, even still Mario.
But Mario is so transformative in terms of just games. Gaming.
I think it's hard because it's too much of a.
It's too broad.
Yeah, it's too early. Yeah, like Sonic too. Like those are legends. I guess.
No, that's fair. Anyone that you put up there with like the top five all time mascots for gaming.
Yeah, that's just because they're
so
known.
Broad.
Yeah. Yeah, but like Final Fantasy is like there are people who just don't like it, and that's fine.
Yeah,
but if you look at the cross section of people who like that series, I mean, it's everybody.
Yeah,
race, gender, whatever.
Yeah, it's Final Fantasy. I think Phantasy Star has a degree of that.
Yeah.
But it really was that PlayStation 1 era of Final Fantasy games because this.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, goodness.
Good lord.
I'm not sure what happened.
Sorry. If the OG PlayStation, it does that to me, I'll stop.
Final Fantasy 1 through 6 are obviously, you know, they're classics and they're where everything else eventually spawned from, but very few people, I think, look back at Final Fantasy and go, yeah, man, it was the gameplay that really did it for me. And don't get me wrong, it is classic RPG gameplay, and there's good stuff in there, but it's the story of Final Fantasy that really touches everyone and the character development. And while, you know, 6 did a pretty good job of it, they hit their stride with 7, and 8 and 9 are classics.
Well, it's because the technology caught up with the vision at that
Correct.
Point. And that's why I think a lot of people, why 7 resonated with people. I mean, 6 to me still easily the best.
7 was just no one had ever seen anything like that.
Yeah,
nothing like Final Fantasy 7 had ever happened before Final Fantasy 7 happened. Don't get me wrong. There's gonna be some nerd out there who's just like, this game came out 2 months before FF7.
Yes, actually, Shining Force 3 was released with. Shut the fuck up.
All right, moron. Well, Shining Force 3 sucks ass. So tough. Anyway. Final Fantasy VII took the world by storm, and nothing like it had ever happened before.
Yeah, and
ever,
ever.
Yeah.
So, Chad, I know you. I would say you've played Final Fantasy, but like you don't like wet your pants every time Final Fantasy news comes out, like the rest of us.
Fantasy. The difference between I think what you guys started and what I started is
you're also a youngster.
Well, not even just that. It's just like I think of you guys really focus on the online element, and I saw Final Fantasy as the iconic. I play this by myself.
Yeah,
it's me in the story, not me plus, you know, a million other people. And that's why I've always struggled with 11 and 14. I mean, I dabbled, but like I never really like got into it.
So to you, Final Fantasy is not a collective.
It's more
experience.
It's more of like the most collective I'd say it is like. It's like watching a movie together. Sure, okay. But we could talk about it after the fact. But I don't want to talk about it with you in the moment. Like, you know, it's happening. The movie's on.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
I see what you mean. And there's a bit of that.
Oh, there it is.
Another follow.
That's a nice follow, boom.
You know what that sound makes me think of? That sound every time makes me think of, remember when you would go see like Star Wars or something in the theaters and they have like
lightsaber.
The digital sound thing?
Yeah. The THX
sound, sounder at the beginning. It makes me think of that every time.
That's so funny.
Oh my God. But anyway, first of all, before we head out, since we talked about this, we going around the horn. What is everybody's favorite Final Fantasy and why? Make it quick. Callie, go.
Oh God! Final Fantasy XI changed my life. Without it, I didn't become a podcaster. And without that, I don't do what I do today. So, Final Fantasy XI, thank you for changing my life. And I still am subscribed to you to this day, and I'm very ashamed of that.
That is called the drug habit, Chad.
I'll say 10 because it was the first one I beat.
Okay.
So I have fond memories
All right. 8 is my personal favorite because stylistically, I think it's flames. But 6 is the best. Period. Okay. Right. There's no thing if you could argue with me. Bunny, what's your favorite?
7 is my favorite. Changed my whole entire life. I actually realized that I had reproductive organs because of that game. Sorry, TMI.
No.
I wasn't ready.
It is okay.
All right. Now I have to know which character gave you that realization.
Was it Vincent? Was it Vincent? Was it Vincent? Because me too.
Was it you? Was it Vincent
I
for you?
I still like, I only bought Dirge of Cerberus because like Vincent was the main character, and I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Chad, you're emo boys.
Vincent, he was brooding, but like
he was
powerful.
Emo. Emo. He's
whatever,
an emo boy.
Why anyway. Not emo? He had listen. There was a boy.
Yeah, like he's good.
I mean, you
sorry,
know what?
I do that.
To be fair, I feel like it probably was a Final Fantasy character for me too, but I'm trying to think of who it would have been. Like,
who'd you say it was, Bunny? I don't know.
Here you go. Here's our last arc of conversation. Your Final Fantasy sexual awakening character.
Oh, I already gave it. It was Vincent.
And Chad gave that it was Vincent. Okay. Callie.
Oh man,
I'm the only cishet male, so it's easy. You could guess.
I mean, yeah, mine was probably Rinoa.
Really?
All right, okay.
Yeah,
she was soft and like nice.
Well, I mean,
and
8 was like my first true like. Oops. Sorry. I mean, Rinoa? I don't want to say 9 wasn't a love story, but all the characters were so like cartoony and stuff like that.
I was a Treppy.
And she liked dogs.
You liked Quistis?
Absolutely.
Renault was a big fan
that
of dogs,
was your
I suppose.
That was your...
No, out of 8?
Oh,
it's Quistis. Absolutely. Smart woman with glasses?
Well, I thought that was your, in general, like Final Fantasy in general.
Not in general. I think for just about every cishet male my age, it's Tifa.
You know, you're 100% right.
That's
fair. What was yours, Bunny?
I like the term. I like it used. For me, I mean, it's both, like you said, Vince Valentine, but at the same time, because I kind of was getting to know myself, I too realized I had reproductive organs when I was watching Tifa.
See?
I like this.
Listen, the Rainbow Coalition, that is Checkpoint AFK.
Listen, my headcanon is that Tifa bats for both teams. Absolutely. She is a switch hitter.
I mean, I've seen enough fan
first
fiction
of all,
yeah. True at this
if point. If you have played the 7 remake.
Well, we discussed it. But
that's my headcanon.
Okay.
That's my new headcanon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go too far into
her
it.
Her and Aerith flirt enough.
Enough.
Enough for me to wonder.
Swallowing baby.
Yes.
And on that note, that is going to be our episode of Checkpoint AFK. Thanks, everybody, for joining us and watching the show, listening to the show. Bunny, thank you so much for joining us. We love you to death. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to come back.
That's right. All right, guys, that's going to be it. Same bat time, same bat channel next week. I don't know if we have a guest next week, but it doesn't matter because the same ridiculous off-the-rails conversations will still happen.
Said in
2 weeks.
Comment
if you want Bunny back next week. Comment if you want Bunny back.
There it is.
There we go. In 2 weeks, we're going to have another member of the Lost Rings label, Sunzy.
That's right. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, guys. We out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.